When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm John McEnroe.
I'm Bjorn Borg.
This is Martina Navratilova.
I'm Mats Wilander.
I'm Stan Wawrinka.
I'm Leighton Hewitt.
I'm Andy Murray.
And you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
Day two, the sun is setting on the US Open for a second day. Catherine Whittaker and myself, David Law, are here between sessions, Catherine, because this is going to be a tennis podcast of two parts. I'll be back certainly later on. We may be both back a little bit after players finish because there's still a lot more to come. But there's so much happened today. It has been to me a bit like Manic Monday at Wimbledon. I have not known where to look half the time. So much has happened.
Too much, yeah. At times. I mean, a whole week's worth of drama happened in Tsitsipas Rublev, which was first on. I still haven't quite recovered.
No, because, I mean, if you haven't heard that one, it was five sets, wasn't it? Was it four sets?
Four sets. Actually. Yeah. It felt like about 18.
Yeah, it did. And because it was full of drama. I mean, because all the sets were an hour long. It started with Rublev playing what I described to you earlier today as sort of martial arts tennis. He has this ability, doesn't matter what you chuck at him, he just throws this swipe of a stroke at the ball and he'll take it on the rise and hit it for a clean winner off a half volley on the baseline.
He's a ninja, isn't he? Like that. He is the scrawniest little thing.
Yeah.
I mean, not height-wise, but he looks like a child still.
Where does this power come from?
It's just the most extraordinary timing that he has. He absolutely leathers that ball. Tsitsipas didn't look like he didn't know what had hit him. I mean, he described Tsitsipas lost, incidentally, for anybody that doesn't know, lost in four sets, was cramping in the fourth set, accused the umpire of being a weirdo, has said after the match that he thinks that chair umpire has it in for him, didn't retract any of his comments towards the
Damien
chair umpire.
Demassoir.
Yeah, he said, oh, that umpire's got it in for me. He got his first code violation for coaching from the box, Patrick Mouratoglou. I'm not sure that it was Patrick or that it was his dad, but Rublev had been complaining that he was finding Tsitsipas's box distracting. Then there was a controversial bathroom break from Tsitsipas, and then later on in the match, I think there was a little bit of shoe drama.
He got a point penalty for a time violation because he was cramping so much, I think, and having to take so much time between.
But he asked for the point penalty.
Yeah, well, that was the point when he just said, I don't care, just fine, you're all weirdos, just fine, you know, just give me a fine, I don't care.
Yeah.
Basically the gist of it.
It all happens.
But, you know, I don't want to take away from Rublev's achievement here. He did this to Dimitrov a few years ago. Do you remember
when Dimitrov
had won Cincinnati and he came along and again he just took on this flowing single-hander and both Dimitrov and Tsitsipas today threw their big shots at him and he just dismissed them. And it shows what a talent he is and what, frankly, we've been missing because he's been injured. He's had this horrible wrist injury and he talked about his depression and how low he's felt because of not being able to play the game.
He said, I couldn't find anything else that could make me happy.
Yeah.
He used the word depression about that period on the sidelines. Talked about how hard it was seeing others go past him.
Yeah, it was on Noah Rubin's website, wasn't it?
The
Beyond the Racket or something like that. Which is
an interesting resource in itself.
Powerful read if you get a chance.
Tsitsipas said after the match, among many other things, he said, I don't feel inspired at the moment. I mean, it sounds like burnout to me.
It does,
and to you, I think, as well. But
I mean, look, when we were in Australia and he was so exciting and so authoritative and he was taking everybody on, we then saw Ben Rothenberg's tweet detailing his schedule for the next 6 months. And at the time, you looked at it and you just thought, that's ridiculous.
And that
you can't
tweet,
play every
didn't
week,
even
mate.
Mention doubles.
No. And look, he did a really decent job of getting to the French Open and playing that match. But the scene that you described the morning after the Wawrinka match, that was the end of Stefanos Tsitsipas in 2019, I'm afraid. He didn't really exist after that. He'll be back next year, folks, but I mean, he's done.
Yeah, and obviously hindsight's a wonderful thing, but it almost sort of felt like it at the time, didn't it? I know I keep coming back to it on this podcast, but it was so striking, it was so arresting, it was so poignant, that scene.
Yeah.
Back in the McCure.
Those days.
I don't miss the McCure.
It's so different. All these slams are so different.
So
and
different.
Therefore, all of our Grand Slam dailies are so different, aren't they? Because at Wimbledon, we're on the broadcast roof on a picnic table, and it's all recorded at a very nice leisurely time of about 8 in the evening. At the Australian Open, it's the middle of the night every day. At the French Open, it's Catherine and Matt performing wonders. And then here, it's the days are so long that basically we often have to record either in two parts or in the bar, in the lobby, watching people come and go. The rich and famous, the famous tennis players. But here tonight, I mean, it feels like so much has happened. And we're sitting in the little media garden outside our media cafe. And as I say, sun is setting, there's still matches going all around us, and loads of a hive of activity tonight. There's still a night session to come. But a couple of big names have gone packing today. Dominic Thiem, along with Stefanos Tsitsipas, the world number one. Wasn't far off from going out today in Naomi Osaka. She actually did a good job of pulling it around against Blinkova, who she'd lost the first three games against, and it went three, but she got the job done in the end.
Yeah, it was French Open-esque, I thought, that victory. It reminded me of those first couple of victories she had at the French Open where she just hauled herself over the line somehow in three sets. And at that time, I remember discussing with Matt thinking, of course, at that moment she held the previous two Grand Slams, and you're thinking, how does Naomi Osaka lose a Grand Slam match? Maybe she just doesn't ever lose one again. And of course, things change very, very quickly. But it had a feel of that about it. I still think she's not going to defend this title and probably won't come that close to it. But she came to the Wow Wow studio, the Japanese broadcaster studio, after the match, a long while after. She took a couple of hours to decompress, because she said that had been the most nervous she'd ever felt before that match. And she looked happier. The Wow Wow studio's next to ours, so sort of watched it all unfold. And she didn't skip into the studio, but it was definitely a certain amount of that pressure has been alleviated. And I was just relieved myself to see that, to see her slightly soothed.
Yeah,
I suppose.
Yeah, well, it's been such a harrowing sight, really, seeing her seem so unhappy, really, the last few days. But anyway, good news for her.
Halep, who is just in my eye line over there, being interviewed by Daniela Hantikova, she was taken to three by Nicole Gibbs.
Well, which is a lovely story to see Gibbs back and playing well. I mean, she was good today. But yes, Halep's still in the draw. Coco Gauff at the moment. I mean, this is amazing. I watched people were having to queue. The announcement went over the press tannoy saying, if you want to have tickets for the press seats to see Coco Gauff play on Louis Armstrong Court, you need to queue. Well, this only happens for Grand Slam semi-finals and finals.
That's bananas.
And
absolutely bananas. Although weirdly, the crowd seats, the public seats, aren't full.
Yes, that's true. Although they're making a
They are. The atmosphere is still great, but I do find it bizarre. It's rarely full.
I think
Louis Armstrong.
It is,
and I don't know
is
why.
Is it ticketed? I think it is, isn't it?
So it never used to.
I think it is ticketed. I think there's an area that's not, and that bit is packed, from what I understand.
Yeah, it's a shame.
But it's a shame that they can't just. I mean, this place would unload into Louis Armstrong now.
Oh, open the gates. 4-1
up. She's playing Anastasia Potapova, who's at the grand old age of 18. She won the first set 6-3, and she was throwing some really big shots in the direction of Coco Gauff, and I thought, this is not going to happen. it just shows the grit of this young woman, because she just kept on hanging in there, and you saw her grow into the match. And now, I mean, look, she's running away with it. Meanwhile, Denis Shapovalov is 6-1, 5-1 up against Felix Auger-Aliassime.
Good old advert for Mikhail Yuzhny's coaching skills at the moment, isn't it? He's having the best, well, last week combined with this result, best week of his last 18 months,
yeah,
really.
That's right. Dominic Thiem, it's not a surprise, really, is it, against Thomas Fabian?
It ought to be.
I very nearly picked him to as my player to be beaten in the predictions today.
Fabiano, of course, upset Tsitsipas first round of Wimbledon. Yeah. So he's got a bit of form, and really flashy, pleasing player to watch, but sort of grimly predictable.
Yeah, well, you keep going back to the Kitzbühel story, and that's where this all seems to emanate from. And he didn't come in here 100%, and yeah, I mean, he's out. Fourth seed. Garbiñe Muguruza is out. She won the first set 6-2 against Alison Risk, and lost the next two heavily. Caroline Wozniacki, great fight back from her. She was 1-6 down. She lost the first five games against Wang Yifan and managed to win 6-3 in the third.
Muguruza might be about to turn a corner, didn't we?
Yeah.
With Annabel Medina Garrigues as a coach. And okay, that's a tricky draw. Risk, Wimbledon quarter finalist, but Risk hasn't won a match here since 2013.
Yeah.
And the courts are quite slow, everybody's saying, although Dan Evans seems to disagree with that.
Does he? Well, he just disagrees with everything.
Marching to the beat of his own drum is Dan.
Have you seen the report from Simon Briggs from the player meeting today?
I have.
In which,
why can't they just live stream those meetings?
In which, yes, Simon reports that that Dan Evans stood up in the player meeting and basically told the 73 players that were signing Vasek Pospisil.
73 of them led by the world number one.
Yeah, and Vasek Pospisil, this petition that seems to use the word boycott as a potential power play, or at least that has been mentioned. And Evans apparently stood up and said that he thinks it's all ridiculous and not realistic. And he also challenged...
Being ridiculous.
he apparently challenged Novak Djokovic in particular and said, well, are you going to boycott a Grand Slam? Because obviously there is so much at stake in the history of the game right now. Because if one of those three at the top, we're all in the player council, if one of them actually did boycott... I mean, they've kind of all three got a boycott,
is it,
haven't
just,
they?
Was he asking the question, is it just brinkmanship? Is this the Cuban Missile Crisis?
Yeah. I think
or
that's,
are you actually prepared to follow through?
I don't think Dan Evans used Cuban Missile Crisis as part of his address. But look, he did raise this. And, from what I gather, Djokovic was not exactly backing down. I still think it is brinkmanship ultimately, but I think it's a negotiating tactic, and it'll end up being resolved probably down the road, because it would be a heck of a move to go all the way with this. But yeah, Evans clearly doesn't think it's something that they all should be doing. There's a significant number of players, though, that do believe that this sort of action is the measure to be taken. But we will see.
Tennis-wise, Vasek Pospisil's doing a thing.
He is. He's
as we speak.
Deep in a fifth set at the moment. Incidentally, go and read Simon Briggs' piece on that subject. And also read Simon Briggs' piece on Bianca Andreescu. Really good read.
He was on court 10 today.
Was she? Did she? I haven't seen her result.
I mean, she loved it and she was brilliant and she got on with it. And by all accounts, there were crowds, you know, 10 deep queuing to get onto court 10. But court 10?
Yeah.
Really?
6-2, 6-4 she won. And she's my pick for the title. So good job she did win. Especially given that Roberto Bautista went out and I got him in my quarterfinals. So not very happy about that. Right, Catherine, you need to go and get the bus.
Missed the consistency out in the first round to Mikhail Kukushkin.
I know. There's a list of players who you really wouldn't expect that one of them is going to be a semi-finalist here at the US Open. I haven't got time to read them all out.
I know who my brother thinks it's going to be.
Who's he think it's going to be?
He's got Nick Kyrgios in the semi-final.
Has he?
Yeah.
I've got him going out tonight against
Steve Johnson.
I mean,
but he's had his perfect preparation. We witnessed it.
he did look good. He did look very good. Okay, Catherine, well, you need to go and get the bus, and we'll reconvene a bit later with Coco Gauff now only 4-3 up in the third set. So, folks, we'll be back.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, a few hours have passed since Catherine and I were sitting outside in the lovely dipping sunshine as sunset came over Flushing Meadows. Now it is pitch black skies. It is floodlights on. I'm sitting in the commentary box at BBC Radio 5 Live overlooking the Arthur Ashe Stadium where Sloane Stephens at the moment is a set down. And actually, the crowd has dissipated a bit. She's going to need a bit of noise if she's going to get through this one, I think, against Anna Kalinskaya. And also, we've got Victoria Azarenka and Arina Sabalenka, both from Belarus, both wearing virtually exactly the same clothes, and both playing some of the fiercest tennis I think I've ever seen. Catherine, you're now back at your hotel, keeping an eye on this one. I mean, this match is amazing, isn't it? Azarenka has took the first set, Sabalenka has taken the second set. It's like past and present Azarenka going at it.
Oh, that's a great line. Love that. Yeah, it's brilliant. I'm completely mesmerised by it. They're both so intense and uncompromising and bulldozing. It's great. You see, they're wearing the same outfits. Azarenka's has the addition of some very bizarre sleeve-type things. What's going on there? It's very odd. One white, yes. Sleeve, Milos Raonic style sleeve, one white, one dark. But anyway, oh my God, Sabalenka's just absolutely smashed a ball into the open court. It's like she's angry with tennis balls.
She hates tennis balls.
Oh my God, we've
she?
Just
she
said the same thing. We're on a slight delay on our Skype line and we've just said the same thing.
The other little accessory that all the tennis players wearing that particular brand of clothing are sporting at the moment is the sort of tennis ball coloured wristbands. And in the case of Carl Edmund, who earlier lost today in five sets, including losing the last six games of the match, he wore a tennis ball coloured cap.
Oh,
which,
it looked awful.
I mean, it was making my eyes hurt.
It looked awful. And it, bless him, he's got, you know, very pasty skin, hasn't he? And it's sort of the reflection of the fluoro made his skin look sort of translucent in a not particularly healthy way. I mean, that was not the biggest of his problems today, but maybe a contributing factor to...
He lost to Pablo Andujar, and he should have won today, shouldn't he? Because he was a set-up, he was a break-up. He then went 2-1 down. I thought he showed some real fighting spirit to win the fourth set 7-5. And when he went 2-love up in the fifth, I thought, he's got this. But at the same time, in the back of your mind, you've got that memory that Kyle Edmund can struggle to get the job done over the distance, and he lost six games in a row. I mean, they went so quickly. I wasn't doing commentary on the final set, and I popped out. They gave me a little break, and I went a little walk, and it was over. And he was 2 love up 10 minutes earlier. I just don't know what happened to him, really.
See, this is where you're an optimist and I'm a pessimist, because when he was 2 love up, I was thinking, he still doesn't have this. And I wanted to be wrong. Although, having said that, Andy Hart is an incredible story.
Yes,
he was ranked outside the world's top 1,000 a couple of years ago. 3 elbow surgeries. He's had to absolutely toil away to make his way back to the top 100. So many, many congratulations to him. And he's another one like Andrea Seppi that makes you earn it, doesn't he? He gives you the opportunity to choke. And I'm afraid Carl Edmund took it today. And he's you know, that ability to impose himself on a tennis match, both in terms of tennis and in terms of his presence on the court that Freddie Rosengren gave to Carl Edmund. Well, it's just gone. It's just completely gone. And he looks afraid to impose himself on a match. He looks afraid to puff his chest out and say, this is mine to lose. You're not going to wrestle this from me.
Yeah.
And he's a tough watch at the moment.
He's got a lot of work to do. Well, we've also had somebody who's not a tough watch, who never lets you down if you're supporting him, really, on his own terms at least, and that's Rafael Nadal, who looked the issues of John Millman in the eye, the man who knocked out Roger Federer a year ago, and said, no, I know you might be a bit of a rugged Australian and like to battle it out from the baseline, but I am the ultimate baseliner and you're going down. And it was 6-3, 6-2, 6-2. It was just over 2 hours. And it was, you used the word at Wimbledon about Nadal. You said he was frightening you. And actually, there were moments during that match where I'm sitting about 200 metres up in the air away from him, and I still felt intimidated.
Matchpoint Sabalenka, soon to be out of date tennis news update. I didn't see loads of it. Because she's won.
Sabalenka, lovely embrace at the end from the two players. And really, I mean, that's a heck of a win, because Azarenka had got her there. She'd got her set down. She was ahead at points in the second set as well. She probably should have won. But again, you saw the appetite of Sabalenka on that practice court at the back of your studio. And we've seen it there. I just think those two are a credit to themselves. I love watching them. It was great watching them go toe-to-toe like that. And Sabalenka is a threat here.
Yeah, I would say so. She was a threat last year. Remember, she took Naomi Osaka, eventual champion, to 6-4 in the third, was it? That match, as she came into the US Open having won New Haven. Very different build-up this year. Although she had a bit of a run in San Jose, didn't she? There have been green shoots of growth for Sabalenka after a difficult 6 or so months. But
yeah,
she could do something here. She's got Putintseva next, not easy. Kanepi, Vekic, Kiki Bertens in her section of the draw.
Well, she gets going, Catherine. You know, she can beat them all, can't she?
And I really have been convinced but I know we have a policy of not reading much into practice, but I'm reading a lot into her practice.
You're ignoring that policy for the sake of this conversation. Fantastic. I'm mightily impressed. Nadal, I was very impressed with. I mean, obviously, he should have beaten John Millman on paper, but the way he does it was just so emphatic that, you know, it really looked, he looked the part out there tonight. And, well, I've picked him for the title, so we'll see. And I think the main reason I picked him for the title is because he's not in with the other one of the three. The other two are in the other half of the draw, and Federer Djokovic would have to meet each other in the semis, and Nadal can avoid them. I just think that helps him enormously. Incidentally,
I mean, traditionally it is the one that only has to play one of the other two, isn't it?
Yeah. Incidentally, the post-match interview on court with Tom Rinaldi from Nadal, he was asked about Andy Murray playing the Rafa Nadal Open in Mallorca. And he said that, yeah, I've told Andy if he wants to go on my boat, just ask.
I don't think it's the sort of boat that my dad would approve of, is it? I don't think it's the sort of boat where you're faffing around with ropes.
Andy Murray's on the boat, though, isn't he, in your dad's view? He'd be a worthy crew member.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think my dad would have Andy Murray. But I think this particular boat, do you know what I mean? I think it's one where they bring you caviar and stuff.
You're saying your dad wouldn't know which buttons to press?
What? Buttons? I don't think my I would hazard a guess that my dad wouldn't approve of buttons being involved in sailing at all.
Right, it's all going to be ropes and wooden steering wheels and things like that.
Yeah, sort of hornblower style.
Okay, oars. Right, okay. So that's what we're talking about with Catherine's dad's boat. Now, Nick Kyrgios is about to come onto the court in a little while. If there's anything dramatic that happens in that match with him and Steve Johnson, I'll come on at the end of the night at about 3 a.m.
If there's anything dramatic that happens in that match, you've stitched yourself right up there, David.
Half of it, haven't I? I'm going to be here at the early hours.
4 o'clock in the morning, David Law's going to be recording a monologue about the latest instalment of the Nick Kyrgios saga. Well, I look forward to waking up and listening to that.
Incidentally, Coco Gauff, 15 years of age, what a turnaround she's put together to win through against Anastasia Potapova. Because, I mean, I was describing earlier that she was getting pushed around, but she has something about her, doesn't she, that young woman? And she loves it. She just seems to love it. I hope that continues, but mightily impressed.
She's got a way of figuring out tennis matches, hasn't she? It is extraordinary. Mm. It reminded me that one of her, would have been her third round victory over Polona Herzog at Wimbledon, where there was this sheer will to haul herself over the finish line, which you just don't associate with a 15-year-old or any kind of teenager. Extraordinary. No. Absolutely extraordinary.
And tomorrow, is there anything else we missed out today apart from what's going on at the court at the moment? Sloane Stephens in a bit of a battle, but and Nick Kyrgios still to come. Is there anything else?
Shapovalov finished off that win over Auger Aliassime. And think I'm just seeing that Tanasi Kokkinakis got a win, which is really nice to see because, goodness me, he's had an awful time.
He has. I tell you, though, Shapovalov looked good today. I know, look, Auger Aliassime was a shadow of himself. He was missing so much. I think he's another one a little bit like Tsitsipas. I think his body's probably just protesting a bit now after the rigours of the year and him not being that used to this. But Shapovalov, with Mikhail Yuzhny in corner, just looks sturdier suddenly. He doesn't look like a junior suddenly.
Yeah, I mean, he's hard as nails, Mikhail Yuzhny is. Now, had to do a double take on the practice court. I knew he was working with Shapovalov on this trial basis, but I think you were there, weren't you? And I was squinting and I was going, is that Mikhail Yuzhny or is that some kind of tennis-playing henchman that's been brought in?
Yes, let's put it clearly, this is a guy who smashed himself in the head with his own racket and drew blood because he was so frustrated with how he wasn't winning matches. So all he needs to do is really show a video to Shapovalov of that. And I dare say Shapovalov will do what he's told.
Yeah, channel me. Did we mention Zverev? David, I can't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember either, but he was 2 sets to love up. Then Radu Albot came back to 2 sets all, and then Zverev won in 5. So well done on winning in 5 sets, but why are you playing 5 sets in the first round of the US
Open? Is he the new Kei Nishikori?
He is a bit, isn't he? Going the circuitous route when a simple cross over the road would do. But anyway, Zverev is still alive. Maybe this is his year. Don't think so. Okay.
Maybe this is his year. Right.
Maybe. I think that'll do for now, Catherine. What's happening tomorrow? Who's playing tomorrow?
the other half of the draw, you've got your Dan Evans, you've got your Joe Konta, you've got Roger Federer.
Yeah, Joe Konta's up first, isn't she? She's
got
playing
Serena.
First
match. Yes.
Yeah, Serena's night session, I know that. And Federer's in the afternoon. Djokovic is in the evening session tomorrow.
Yes. All of this is true and accurate. Well done.
Okay, looking forward to it already. Okay, right, well, if anything dramatic happens in Nick Kyrgios and he gets arrested, which is not impossible, I'll be back a bit later. But Catherine, go and have a good sleep. We'll be back hopefully in person
someone
tomorrow
night. Someone
said
that to me about Kyle Edmund today, that he needs to get himself arrested. He needs to go on a night out with Nick Kyrgios and just let loose.
Oh, my word. The thought of it. Yeah. I'm going to have nightmares about that. Yes, so we're
brought
to you in
association. I don't think
you'd
enjoy it, would he?
With The Telegraph. We're executive produced by tennisballs.com. We have our mascot, Rio with a Y. Catherine, go to get to bed. Everybody listening to this, tell your friends to tell other people to tell other people to listen to the podcast. Leave us a review on iTunes. Sign up to the newsletter. You've got the wording on your little show notes there on your phone. So go and press click on that and sign up and you'll get our newsletter with our silly predictions every day and Matt's stat, and we'll be back with another tennis podcast tomorrow.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.